Welcome to the worship service of Pea Ridge United Methodist Church, 1209 North Davis Street, Pea Ridge, Arkansas. We hope this message will provide both meaning and inspiration for your life. Listen now for today's message.
Our call to worship. The voice of God prods our hearing. The activity of God stretches our seeing. Together, they invite us down into the waters of life where the Spirit flows. From there, we may rise to go, to dare, to walk, and to serve beyond where we have been before.
Forever adore.
our affirmation of faith. We believe in God, the creator of all things, the giver of life and breath. We believe in Jesus Christ, born Emmanuel, God with us, baptized and revealed the most beloved Son of God. He sought to heal humanity by taking our brokenness upon himself, suffering for us, dying for us, and being raised from the dead for our sake and for the sake of all the world. We believe that he will come again. We believe in the Holy Spirit, continually poured out, refreshing our lives, leading us into a new day, ever birthing the church, the body of Christ in the world. This Spirit is our sole companion and counselor of truth, reminding us of the gift of faith, the ever-presence of God, and the promise of eternal life. Thanks be to God. Amen. Our first scripture reading is the 29th Psalm. Give the Lord, you heavenly beings, give the Lord glory and strength. Give the Lord the glory due his name. Worship the Lord in the splendor of his holiness. The voice of the Lord is above the waters. The God of glory thunders. The Lord above vast waters. The voice of the Lord in power. The voice of the Lord in splendor. The voice of the Lord breaks the cedars. The Lord shatters the cedars of Lebanon. He makes Lebanon skip like a calf, and Syrian like a young wild ox. The voice of the Lord flashes flames of fire. The voice of the Lord shakes the wilderness. The Lord shakes the wilderness of Kadesh. The voice of the Lord makes the deer give birth and strips the woodlands bare. In his temple, all cry, glory! The Lord sat enthroned at the flood. The Lord sits enthroned, king forever. The Lord gives his people strength. The Lord blesses his people with peace.
Do fa va va da da do fa va
do ba da 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 do ba da do da da
fa va.
There's a sweet, sweet spirit in this place. The Spirit of the Lord. There are sweet expressions on each face, and I know they feel the presence of the Lord. Sweet Holy Spirit, sweet Heavenly Dove,
Lord, won't you stay
right here with us?
Lord, won't you please fill us with your love?
Fill us with your love, and for these blessings we lift our hearts in prayer. Revived when we shall leave this place. Sweet Holy Spirit,
oh,
sweet Heavenly Dove,
oh Lord, won't you stay
right
here with us?
you please fill us with your love?
Fill us with your love. And for these blessings, we lift our hearts in praise. Without a doubt, we'll know. Revived when we shall leave this place.
Our scripture text this morning comes from the second chapter of Matthew, verses 1 through 12. After Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of King Herod, wise men from the east arrived unexpectedly in Jerusalem, saying, "Where is he who has been born King of the Jews? For we saw his star in the east and have come to worship him." When King Herod heard this, he was deeply disturbed, and all Jerusalem with him. So he assembled all the chief priests and scribes of the people and asked them where the Messiah would be born. "In Bethlehem of Judea," they told him, "because this is what was written by the prophet, 'And you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the leaders of Judah, because out of you will come a leader who will shepherd my people, Israel.'" Then Herod secretly summoned the wise men and asked them the exact time the star appeared. He sent them to Bethlehem and said, "Go and search carefully for the child. When you find him, report back to me so that I too can go and worship him." After hearing the king, they went on their way, and there it was, the star they had seen in the east. It led them until it came and stopped over the place where the child was. When they saw the star, they were overjoyed beyond measure. Entering the house, they saw the child with Mary, his mother, and falling to their knees, they worshipped him. Then they opened their treasures and presented him with gifts, gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And being warned in a dream not to go back to Herod, they returned to their own country by another route. This is the word of God, given to us, the people of God, and the world. Thanks be to God. What images come to your mind when you think of the Magi in Matthew's gospel? Having sat through enough Christmas plays, it may be hard for some of us to banish the image of children wearing bathrobes and Burger King crowns, trying to look as wise and regal as possible. For others, the heroes of this passage may bring to mind men in long flowing robes, beards, and big turbans. Every year, most of us receive at least one Christmas card with this kind of picture on the cover. They're always in one of two poses, either kneeling at Jesus' crib or sojourning across the desert on camels. In nativity sets, they rub elbows with the shepherds from Luke. We don't really know these Magi very well, though. Scholars will tell you that they weren't kings. They weren't necessarily three of them, and they didn't come on the night of Jesus' birth. But whether there were two, three, or 20 of them, and even if they didn't quite make it in time to help boil water for Jesus' birth, they play a significant role in the gospel. And one of the most informative things about them is they weren't Jewish. They were Gentiles, which means anyone who wasn't Jewish at that time. If you'll notice in your bulletin, it's Epiphany Sunday. And the word Epiphany refers to the manifestation of Jesus Christ to the Gentiles. This passage of Scripture is about the opening of God's good news to the entire world, no matter who you are, where you come from, what you look like, and what religion you are. And these Magi, these outsiders, they represent this: that Jesus came to save all people, not just a select few. And these Magi, they had a foreign belief system, one that the Old Testament tried to steer the people of Israel and Judah away from. They were astrologers. And for that reason, it seems even stranger that Matthew would tell us about these guys who used their astrology to find Jesus. Because certainly Matthew isn't endorsing astrology. The New Testament warns against the use of astrology as well. For trying to make one's decision based on their horoscope reading, it isn't considered okay according to the Bible. We're called to face the future trusting in God, not trying to predict what will happen on any given day. In any case, God meets us where we are. God seeks us out no matter what kind of circumstance we're in. God can use anything to get our attention, and He certainly does here. We can make our initial steps toward Jesus in any number of ways. God can draw us to Jesus from wherever we are and by whatever path we will follow. In his book, The Organic Church, Neil Cole tells about a young man named Sean. And Sean was an outstanding musician before drugs took everything from him. He had sold all his instruments to feed his speed habit. He had lost all his jobs because he would often steal in order to buy more speed. Sean was circling around the drain, about to go down for the last time. And Cole writes, "We invited Sean to church. I must admit, I was surprised when he came, and even more surprised when he came back again and again," Cole writes. Eventually, he even began to smile and interact with us. Even though Sean became a Christian believer, he continued to slide back into his addiction, and Cole suggested that Sean go to a rehab center, but Sean, he didn't like that idea. That's when Cole had a rather radical idea. Sean said, "Well, great, what is your idea?" Cole replied, "You and I get in the car right now and drive over and tell your drug dealer about Jesus." Cole added, "Maybe if your dealer gets saved, it will cut off your source." Sean went along with it, but said that, you know, it wouldn't work if Cole went with him. Because his dealer was a woman. She was actually a mother. And she lived next door to him in the ghetto, and she supplied drugs for the local kids. Sean shared the gospel with her, and from that point on, Sean never took any drugs. He was free. The power of the gospel received and also given to others transformed his heart. Many people come to Jesus in many ways. Whoever these wise men were showed up at Jesus' doorstep, they show us that we can never predict how God will bring us to Jesus. These magi teach us not only in the strange way that they come to Jesus, they also teach us in the way that they leave. King Herod, he's lurking behind this scene. Herod can't see the good news behind the birth of Jesus because he seethes with jealousy over Jesus as a threat to his power. So he makes the very foolish and dangerous decision to try to hold back what God intends. Do we ever try and hold back what God intends? How often do we say no to God's good plans for our lives? How many times do we find ourselves in a ditch because we made the conscious decision not to follow God? Anyhow, Herod wants to stand in God's way. So with a fake smile on his face and treachery in his heart, he invites the Magi in for a talk, claiming that he wants to go and honor Jesus. Herod asks the Magi to let him know where Jesus is. You know, it's interesting the way that Matthew contrasts the Magi and King Herod's Bible scholars. We're told that when King Herod heard about the newborn king of the Jews, he gathered all the chief priests and the scribes and asked them where the child was to be born. And they said, "In Bethlehem of Judea, for this is what the prophet wrote." The religious leaders who had devoted their lives to studying the law and the prophets knew where the Savior was to be born, but they showed no interest in checking things out for themselves. They seemed unable or uninterested in putting their knowledge into action. They lived at the center of power. They didn't seem to care what was happening around in the margins. They had the scriptures in their hands, but they missed something. They missed the Messiah's birth. Do we ever hold the truth in our hands, but miss the living Lord? Their behavior, their attitudes, their allegiances seem to be radically different from those of the foreign, the gentle magi, those sinful astrologers. Herod and his minions represent all those who claim to have a noble purpose, but who act out of self-interest and greed. They stand in for all of us who clutch at power without regard for whom it might hurt. Historically, though, when Herod was frightened, as he was when he heard about the newborn king of the Jews, people died. Nervous and insecure, Herod ordered the killing of his brother-in-law, his uncle, and then his wife. And after that royal bloodshed, Herod still didn't feel safe, so he went on to execute his mother-in-law, a son, and then two more of his sons. And of course, we know about the killing of the innocents that are recorded in Matthew 2, verses 16 through 18. In seeking to get rid of Jesus, Herod sent soldiers to kill all the male children in Bethlehem and in all their surrounding territory who were 2 years old and younger. Fear, self-interest, and hanging on to power. Look at the results, the horrible evil that took place. And of course, Herod's plan would have worked, except for God. Speaking to the Magi in a way that they could understand through a dream, God points them to a different path, away from Herod. The Magi have taught us something by the way they arrived, and now they teach us by the way they leave. They went back to their own country by another route, according to the scripture. Could it be that Matthew is offering us a hint about life for those who have met Christ? Nothing is ever the same. You don't take the same road any longer. Instead, you unfold a new map and you discover a new way. When we stand up after kneeling before Jesus, we are called to go on another road. Worshiping Jesus, not just on Sundays, but at all times, provides us with the strength and the motivation to fight back against greed, oppression, and injustice. If we kneel before Jesus, we rise ready to go another road from the evil of the world. Nothing is the same. So we have some new things to think about now when we see the Magi in the nativity scenes and on Christmas cards each year. They need to remind us that God welcomes us wherever we might have started out. They show us that the call of those who worship Jesus is to resist evil. As we begin this new year, let us kneel before Christ and pledge ourselves to following His road, His way, His route, for His sake and for the sake of the world. For the way of Christ is the only road that's actually going somewhere. Won't you pray with me this morning? God, our provider, You govern this world in power and love, providing food for the swallow and for the cardinal, and clothing, daintily lilies in glory. Remind us that You will feed and clothe us too, we who are made in Your image and in Your likeness. Comfort us, O God, when we feel lonely in our anxiety. Hide us in the shadow of Your wings when we are afraid of the implication of our decision-making. When we are conflicted over academic, career, family decisions, when we must decide not whether but what commitment to let go of, when we lie awake at night uncertain of what the future holds, call to mind promises from Jesus that we ought not to worry about tomorrow, for You, our Heavenly Father, know what we need. We pray this in the power of the Spirit and in the name of Jesus Christ, our Savior, who taught us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be Thy name. Thy kingdom come, Thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For Thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Amen.
Thank you for listening to today's message. Pea Ridge United Methodist Church is a home for people of all backgrounds and ages. We rejoice in each new person that comes our way. Our goal is to enable you to make faith in God a vital part of your everyday life by creating an environment where worship is meaningful and uplifting, where teaching from the Bible is relevant to life situations, where friendships are significant and prayer is practiced as a continuing communication with God. Are you looking for a church? Between churches? Perhaps burned out on church? Come give our church a try. We are Pea Ridge United Methodist Church, 1209 North Davis Street in Pea Ridge, Arkansas. Find us on Facebook, and our web address is pearidgeumc.net. Or you can call Pastor Jeremy Gross at 479-553-9585. Pea Ridge United Methodist Church, anchored in the past, moving toward the future, making disciples for Christ along the way.